Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy, customizable themes that let you build your brand, marketing tools that get your products out there, integrated shipping solutions that actually save you time. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go, Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/setup.
You are listening to the Glass Cannon Network, the premier source for role-playing game entertainment.
What's going on, everybody? It's your old buddy, Troy, and I am here to talk about Glass Cannon Live 2025. In case you missed the news, Strange Aeons, the story that has been the focus of our tour since we began touring in 2018, is moving off the tour. We're going to be playing that game online, long sessions once a month, marathon sessions live on Twitch. And Glass Cannon Live is about to start a brand new adventure that I'm calling Ascension. Without giving too much away, this is going to be a story and world shaped in some way by the events of Giant Slayer, the story for the original Glass Cannon podcast. And we are kicking off the tour in Texas. Good old Texas. We're coming to both Dallas and Austin. I think a lot of people are wondering, like, well, should I get tickets to Dallas? The first show, is that going to be a session zero? No! Dallas is going to be episode one. The story is going to begin in Dallas and then continue the next night in Austin. This is a story and a show that I'm going to be working on constantly throughout the year, building it as we go based on the choices that the characters make. I am so excited about this. This is a project that I've kind of had in the back burner for a while, that maybe I've been like, I can't do it, it's too crazy, but we're doing it. It is going to be a spectacular jumping on point for new people who may be like, I can't listen to the 100th episode of a show. Well, you can listen to episode one or catch up really easily when we're on four or five and you only have a couple hours to listen to. So if you have friends, you've been trying to get into the Glass Cannon podcast, the Glass Cannon Network for a while, what a great way to start. Bring them to this live show and they will get in on the ground floor just like you. So head to glasscannonnetwork.com/tour and you can buy tickets or VIP packages to any of the shows that we have coming up this year. The two that are on sale right now are Dallas and Austin. We're coming to Dallas on February 21st and Austin on February 22nd. But then get ready, because tickets will be on sale soon for Milwaukee on March 21st, St. Paul on March 22nd, Seattle on April 11th, Portland, Oregon on April 12th. That's my mom's birthday. Happy birthday, Mom. Well, not yet. Ann Arbor on May 23rd, Toronto on May 24th, and then, of course, we're coming to Vegas in June for Glass Cannon Network Retreat number 2. That's not a Glass Cannon Live, but just a reminder that that's going on sale as well. Guys, I can't wait to share Ascension with you. Joe, Skid, Matthew, Kate, Sydney, and I are all going to be there, and I hope you'll be there too. For Highbury!
Last week on the Glass Cannon podcast.
I forgot it's a cabinet attacking us.
She runs up to it. I'm going to start punching the cabinet.
Miss.
That's crazy.
And Barnes will take a swing. 18 points of damage.
Okay. You do notice not all of that goes through.
Divine Lance!
It doesn't affect the creature.
What has no spirit?
Oh, God.
It's a grind, huh?
Fiery frostbite spell.
Doesn't take any damage.
What?
You're fucking
the
kidding me.
The fireproof cabinet? Anybody?
Yeah, its hardness reduces any damage.
Same roll. Natural 4.
Start making up numbers, man. I gotta fucking pee.
Miss.
Come on.
This sucks.
Finally, we said it. Yeah, all agree.
Right? Like, so might as well just rip the Band-Aid off now. You kill it, okay?
Yeah! We gotta administer the
administer the antidote.
Take a sip of this. We're friends of Sakawachi.
I trust you to take us back.
Turner and Booch are going to follow us as well.
No, you can't bring them back to Smiling Wolves.
Very well, we'll murder them.
I'm not saying we murdered them.
The Ku'ula Khan goes over to the prisoners and just rips out one of their throats with his teeth.
Muggles! Muggles!
Screams are choked with blood as they bleed out, and all of you just stare at the carnage.
The adventure continues. Now.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Glass Cannon Podcast. You know, I've done a lot of these shows, and tonight's is an interesting one.
What's going on?
I don't like the tone.
I don't like this at all.
Are we being fired?
There's no easy way to say this.
We are being fired.
But Kate Stamos has left the show.
To shoot her empty chair.
And she was told,
your dice stay.
Yeah, the dice stay.
Yeah, the dice stay.
Well, she hadn't had time to clean out her office. That's her cubicle.
Got some nice dice.
We'll mail you your
She
dice.
Was so upset. After last week's episode, not only did we all hemorrhage viewers, we hemorrhaged players.
Yeah.
She has left.
She was enraged that you ran.
I've never seen her that furious.
Yeah.
She tore.
Oh, you should see her when she gets really
tore at these screens. We had to buy new ones to get out. She couldn't get out of
her giant clawed nails.
Yes. Nails. I won't betray Kate. I miss her so much. I'll kill myself before she leaves and I don't.
Oh, no. Oh, seppuku.
What is this, network?
Yeah.
You're how we get the youth vote, Sydney.
Youthquake.
No one under 50 is watching us if Sydney leaves.
What's sad is that that might not have been true 10 years ago, but it's true now.
Creeping towards truth.
Truth be told, or as much truth as I feel like telling, this is our last recording of 2025.
2024.
Oh, wait, what?
Slip up.
Yeah.
I know what I said.
I just was like,
show's
I'm
over.
Moving on, baby.
Show's over, go home.
Last recording of 2024, my injury that I had going into the fall really fucked up our recording schedule. And then fucking so many people it takes to get into this room. It's so hard. It's such a thin line of getting people into recording. So we have a late night tonight. And it was go really late with Kate or risk her getting into an accident on her four-hour drive home.
And there was snow this morning.
Weather, which is why you were late this morning, which is why we got a later start.
I started 2 hours late, and then it was a long day anyway. And
so we've been in here about 9.5 hours.
We're going inside.
We got to get this app. We got to get this app in the can. I thought we debated, can we just do this? But then we'll miss a week. We're like, why don't we just fucking do it without her and have a fun app and see what happens.
And we promised each other
to stay
friends.
Kate's character in poop.
No matter what, when we go to college. No. We promised each other this would be a fun app.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I'm actually excited. Like, I'm just hanging out. Maybe it's because Kate's gone. I don't want to. I don't know what it is.
He didn't say it definitely was.
I don't know.
He finally let his hair down.
She left, and all of a sudden, I'm having a great time. I don't know if there's a correlation.
It could also be the colors of the walls behind.
Yeah, this could be the colors like candy cane. Like, who doesn't love candy canes?
Watch this.
No,
she's not.
Oh, I love having Kate here.
No, she will. She'll be.
But I know it has been like nice, just like kind of resolving ourselves to like having to go this late and like doing this is just like. I like hanging out with this group. I like hanging out with you guys.
I look forward to the days where we're in the studio.
Yeah. I always do.
These long days. And we've hinted at this before, but sometimes we will do a day of recording.
Yeah.
And then sometimes we'll just stay in the studio.
Yeah. We'll just hang out.
We'll project a movie on the big, on one of these
walls.
Yeah.
We'll have movie nights.
That's why. You guys stay all night.
We were going to do it tonight.
We had plans to do it tonight, but we couldn't because of the late hours. But like, it was like, Lowe was going to be here. We
bunker in here.
Now it's 1 a.m. Just like a real game session. We're hanging out.
Yep.
That's the other reason I like long recording days of this, because I feel like, I think they get better and better toward the end because you get a little punchier, you get a little looser.
It's true.
And we don't really get to play that many marathon sessions. We play so much, but it's always like this story, then this story, then this story, then this story, then A, then B, then C, then D. And so it's nice to do like A. You really get into it.
Yeah.
Really can feel the adventure moving forward.
Sometimes you really kind of need that to kind of feel more invested like in the story. It's just like to really have a sustained kind of play session to really immerse yourself in it. I remember like we did, I don't think none of you were involved in it, but like the first time I ran Rise of the Rune Lords, we did a retreat. Like we rented a house in the Alleghenies and in Pennsylvania. And we were there. We really just played for like 72 hours straight. Like we got through so much of that AP. And it's actually right. We did it right about where you guys are in Legacy. It was like that happened like while we were on this retreat. And it was fucking great. Like it was just so awesome to really dive into it consistently for that long. It was like,
awesome. This is the big argument of our friends at the Order of the Amber Die, who I've mentioned several times. It's like they swear on marathon games.
That's exactly what they do. That's
way better than playing once a month.
Right.
For 8 hours or 6 hours. So like it is so much better to play once every 4 months or 3 months for 60 straight hours, you know, like an entire, not straight hours, you rest, you sleep, but everybody sleeps in the house. You know what I mean? You crash on floors, sleeping bags, whatever. You do 4 hours, you get up, you make eggs, and you go right back into the adventure and you eat and play. And like,
you're looking forward to it for all those months in between.
Exactly. And you're emailing back for it and you're looking at loot sheets and you're like making sure you distribute everything. You know what I mean? And like,
you don't need to do recaps. It's just like you're in it for that period.
Yeah.
We're just in a flow state. It's just like things are just coming naturally. You feel in the shoes of your character.
Yeah.
Well, this is one of the reasons that I wanted Strange Aeons to like continue on. We're pivoting the tour, at least for this year. I was like, let's just do marathons because we really love the story. Let's really chunk into it and see where we go. And also have that element on the network because all of our shows are, you know, an hour, 2 hours. Sometimes they go long, but to have like a 4 hour plus app once in a while, even though I have gone on record to say that's terrible, I think it'll be worth trying.
Yeah.
I was just like, I love that we just, you know, if there was a day booked out where we're going to be in the studio, there's no other meetings.
Yeah.
Usually I have to arrange for childcare. So like, I know my kids in good hands and you know, but I also can't help. So there's like, I can't,
have no distractions.
There's no other, like, I'm not going to, if I get, you know, besides no one's going to get on the phone with me.
It's just guilt.
Nagging guilt. Is the
I mean, but that's constant.
Right. That doesn't go away.
Also like if they're not going to have someone call me, like someone calls me, I'm recording.
But you're right. Also like most of us commute out to the studio. So when we have a studio day, it's a full day. And then most of the time we do plan around that to stay later and hang out more because we don't get to see each other that often. Right. So it's nice. It's like we have the day and then we have the night where we do movies.
Yeah, it's great. Just to like see people in person. This is something that's sort of a carryover from to the pandemic was just like just that isolation where we saw each other like on a screen like all the time. And like that's, I think that's sort of something that is sort of endemic in the society right now is like, that is the majority or like a sizable plurality of people's time with other people is like over a screen. And it is so exciting it's just so nice to be in person. That's one of the reasons I really look forward to studio days is like be in a room physically with like my friends.
How long have we wanted to be around a single table?
Yeah.
Talked about it forever.
Yeah.
I think there's this misconception out there that because we've been frustrated with certain combats and certain elements of this adventure path that we're not having fun. And like, there are times when we absolutely aren't having fun.
Sure.
And I had that predates the Glass Cannon Network. There are sessions. Remember those emails I'd send you?
You who have not had a bad 1 hour in a session at your home game, throw the first stone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, sometimes
a bad combat, just a bad night where like, your character doesn't get the thing that they've been trying to get there, but their story doesn't come out in the way you want it to. Like that happens all the time at home games.
Yeah, there's all kinds of like frustrations that can occur in any game.
Inner fighting, interpersonal problems.
But we really do enjoy it. And right before we started, we had about a 40-minute discussion about our thoughts on the adventure path thus far. And I liked that it was off camera. Like we really got to dig into some pros and cons and future plans. But it is, we do enjoy it. And like, as much as I'm like really psyched for that 2 hour drive home, I try to like lean into this moment, especially me who I personally don't have any social life. So like, this is it. This is all I have is to come here and do this. And it's nice.
Are you having fun?
I am. Yeah, I am having fun. I do enjoy it. Like, it's a lot of work.
Fun now.
Yeah.
But like, you know, it's, yes, this is a job, right? Yes, this is work. And I think that sometimes right down to the walls, it can feel very sterile when it's not going well. Like last week, like that's why I wanted to like be honest about it, not pretend like this fucking crazy. It sucked. It sucked. I want to talk about that and have those discussions and see any how we can game, make it better.
Not just RPGs. Any game hits those things.
Yeah. Sure.
I mean, how many board games have we played where it was like started off fine, all of a sudden you're in a weird. I remember
you're in some sort of weird loop. You're in a situation where you need a certain random event to occur. You
for
know
five
I mean?
Turns.
I remember I was playing just like, Citadels at a bachelor like, party, and I love Citadels.
Yeah,
you brought me in the Citadels. I love that game.
Yeah,
but like we found we like happened into a very random way of breaking the economy.
Yeah,
and basically just the gold, all of the gold would just pass from player to player to player. And
oh, we were, dude, what was that?
Thief Assassin.
What was that board game where there were three circles? You had to get to the middle.
Was that
we used to play it all the time?
Oh! You're talking about you know the John Jampsky, the famous adventure game. For Christ's sake!
God, we played it ad nauseum.
Talisman.
Remember those Talisman games? Where you're like, we are never going to get.
yeah.
There's no way we're going to win this. Yeah. Right, we can't stop.
That's
playing.
The thing. It's like there's two ways that Talisman can. Oh, there's a lot of other ways, but it's a spectrum. But there are those times where. Do you know Talisman?
No, I'm going to Google
it. It's a fantasy adventure board game that has.
Like, it's a Games Workshop game that goes back to like early 80s.
It's very old school.
I did it. I Googled Talisman.
And super fun, but it's also there's a digital version. We could totally play it one. I once streamed it with Jared Logan and Clint.
I'm down to play it. This looks cool.
Oh, it's really cool. It's freaking awesome, but it's also like very random. It's like Monopoly with fantasy. So there's a lot of die rolls. And if things just get into a funk, they can get into a real funk and things could just not be moving. You cannot be getting anything done. And vice versa. Do you remember the days where we would finish a game of Talisman at like 11:30 at night and be like, let's do one more drunk game. Like, let's run it back. And like drunk games of Talisman where you had like a 10 second timer on your turn. So it was like, you couldn't have any time to make this like the optimal decision. Yeah. So it was just like, bam, 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 like hitting a clock. You know what I mean? Like try to move. And so it was so fun.
Yeah.
So
that makes me think of when we went to PAX East that one time, the first time we went.
Oh my God.
Yeah. We rented the suite. We got the suite of the hotel. Like 11 people were staying in the hotel. But at one point we were like running three games concurrently. It was like X-Wing.
We had Small World, X-Wing miniature game.
And Carcassonne.
And Carcassonne.
And so we'd all
take a turn and then move on to the next game.
Yeah. Oh, and then like, and we were like walking around the table, like each taking a turn of like one of these games.
Yeah.
And that was one of the best weekends of my life. Like,
I'll never forget most of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Merwin was there. McDermott was there. McDermott was there. McDermott said some of the funniest things I've ever heard in my life that weekend.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It was like, that was great.
Yeah. It's a good time.
Anyway, and if you ever got into a board funk in one of those board games, you had two others you were playing at the same time.
Yeah, that's a good way to avoid.
We were hardcore.
What the fuck?
And there was no children. No one had any children.
No, right. No one had any kids.
We weren't even married.
Right. No guilt. You were so far from home. Like you couldn't even.
That was the same weekend that we played that game of Fiasco where we were the band.
We were in a band.
The Journey
band.
Cover band.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like the developers were like sitting there, and they were laughing their asses off at like what we were doing.
Yeah, that was Sunday afternoon. We were like, we should do one more game.
And yeah.
We're like Bloodshot Eyes. It was the last time they sold beer at the Boston Convention Center.
Because of that game.
Like everybody in the convention center was wasted. Like, we shouldn't do this anymore with nerds.
they're not. Oh, that was the other thing. Is like, I remember that for like the Friday night or something. They had a League of Legends like kind of LAN thing going on at one of the things. We were completely trashed. We went out drinking. We came back.
Joe was teaching us League,
and I'd never heard of League.
Forgot about that.
You just
and
had
so
a
we all like sat
flashback.
Down like and I was playing League. I was like, I don't know what we're doing, and all these people are fucking screaming at me online. It was like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, I don't know what I'm doing.
I don't know what you're
just clicking around.
Matthew knows what an idiot I am when it comes to like. We should play a game. We should try this game. I'll teach you this game, and I get really excited about it, and I want to like pass on my excitement, and we were drunk, and we were at PAX East, and I took them to a League of Legends LAN because at the time I was way into League of Legends.
It had just launched like a month or two previous or something. Like, I had never heard of it.
I was so into it, and I was like, "This game is so fun! You guys are gonna love it." So like, we all sat down at these computers and drunk. I tried to begin explaining how to play League of Legends. And it is such an incredibly complicated game, like to get the meta of what you're supposed to be doing. And I'm like, all right, so then you do this and then you do that. And then you do that. I'm trying to play it at the same time. And it was just like a total mess.
It was a mess.
Yeah, we were playing on like eight computers and you were just running around like giving everybody tips.
And I'm laughing my ass off and all these
kids are yelling at me, like in the chat.
Oh, these
like,
literal children.
Yeah.
Screaming at you.
It was so great. I loved it.
Yeah. So all this is to say, everything is better without Kate.
Oh my God! No. That's not true. I don't condone.
Kate, are you watching right now?
We miss you already, Kate.
Miss you.
I hope come back.
I hope you'll stick around after this break because this is the show today. We'll be right back.
Guys, I got to be honest with you. If I go out for a few drinks after our recording today, I know for a fact that I will not bounce back tomorrow morning like I used to. I'm just getting older, and I feel like I have to make a choice a lot of times between having a great night or having a great next day. But not anymore, thanks to pre-alcohol. ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink is the world's first genetically engineered probiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in the gut. It's this byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for your rough next day. Pre-alcohol produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down. Just remember to make pre-alcohol your first drink of the night. Drink responsibly, and you'll feel your best tomorrow. I always bring my pre-alcohol on tour, and I know that if we're going to go out and have a couple drinks the night before a show when we're in town, Matthew will probably have his too. We'll do a little cheers of our pre-alcohol as our first drink of the night, and then we know we're going to have a great next morning. Go to zbiotics.com/GCP to learn more and get 15% off your first order when you use GCP at checkout. ZBiotics is backed with 100% money-back guarantee. So if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember to head to zbiotics.com/GCP and use the code GCP at checkout for 15% off.
New year, new you, new Disney Plus watch list. And with so many titles to explore, finding your perfect pick is easy. From the intensity of The Bear, to the comical but cryptic mysteries in Only Murders in the Building, or the thrilling story of Shogun, January just got better with Disney Plus. Tap the banner to learn more. 18 plus subscription required. Learn more at disneyplus.com.
Folks, we're back. About 30 minutes left in this quick ad. But I want to thank our sponsors for keeping the lights on. Foundry Virtual Tabletop, and of course, Norse Foundry. Been on the sides of the players as of late.
Mm-hmm. Look at this. Except fucking, for last episode. Look at this incredible, gorgeous die.
I love that die.
Brody, get a close-up of this.
That thing is
incredible, beautiful. Iridescent, frosted die.
Get in the light.
Get into the light striking it.
It's like Barnes' like, mirror catching the light.
Exactly.
You have a Tolkien quote that you feel in your heart when you hold that up to the light?
So strange. Fates of many be ruled by such a little thing. Such a little thing.
Damn, he's good.
Really good. Shit.
Look at that.
That's great. That'll go on the Foundry.
Yeah. The t-shirt soon enough.
This was free, too.
Wow.
For me.
Wait.
Cut free. To me.
Oh, no. I bought this one. I got a discount, though. I got Eric.
Oh, okay.
You got the five-finger discount.
Good buddy, Eric. Five-finger discount, yeah.
You stole tip. That from the North
That's a little tip. Little shoplift from the Foundry booth at any con you go to. Just like grab one, run away.
You too can get it for free.
They have very little security.
Yeah, they're like so nice and trusting. Foundry. You can just walk up.
Can I see how those roll?
Just walk up. Just make sure you wear long sleeves and just a quick elbow into the glass case. And you can take whatever you want.
I always wonder at cons when I roll like their dice at con, like anyone, any dice booth where they're like, and this die is $200. And they put it in my hand and I'm like, okay. And then I roll it and they reach for it so fast. It rolls and they're like, thank you.
Sometimes they don't.
I didn't even see the result.
They don't let you see the result.
You just pull a caster on The Simpsons and just put it in your pocket. And then when they ask for back, just say, what die?
Yeah,
what die? What die?
Give it back. Give what the back?
Well, this is going to be an interesting episode. Kate is not here, and historically, when a player doesn't show up, something scatological happens to their character. Sometimes pee, sometimes other bodily fluids get involved.
We'll try to avoid that.
We'll try to avoid it, but I can't control it.
It's not her fault that she's not here.
Yeah,
no. We're not going to go out.
It's never anyone's fault.
No. It's never anyone's like fault.
When they poop themselves.
No.
I will say, upon seeing Buggles brutally murder these
people.
Oh
my God, I forgot.
Oh man, I thought we were going to like start, like ease into.
I forgot. That's
what I was going to say. Yeah, but I completely forgot that we have a very serious situation.
Situation. And up. Zephyr is so taken aback by it, she immediately shits her pants.
And it's just.
Oh, she's so traumatized.
She goes, completely catatonic, nonverbal, shits her pants.
Shitting her pants. And she only brought one pair on this entire adventure.
That's the real tragedy.
That was just a lack of foresight right there.
That's the tragedy. So she excuses herself away from this scene. But I want to go into the minds of the other players here, all right? I don't know if any of you saw this, or if you did, you maybe just kind of put it in the back of your mind. But as you were leaving Castrovel, the players would remember this. Again, I don't know if the PC saw this. Buggles sent a Psyburst, I think, at Aleli.
Mm-hmm.
It was the cool Akan, we think, we hope. Kind of taking over and seeing Aleli as an enemy or whatever, shot a Psyburst, and Aleli's like head shot back just as Buggles walked through the portal. So the seeds have been sown here that maybe the balance of power between Buggles and the Ku'ula Khan is shifting and changing.
Well, these are the circumstances that kind of made the Ku'ula Khan emerge in the first place, was this like extreme stress, extreme fear. So, like, that's why it seems like he came out in this moment. He was afraid of this dog. Like, you know, Buggles refused to go in the room because the obsidian dog that he summoned, that he brought up, it's like he refused to go in there.
Well, this is dangerous, right? Because as the danger continues to mount for this story, the situations are only going to get worse. So there's a chance that these outbursts will only get worse. But I don't even know if the characters have been able to process all this. In this moment, you just turn and see Chami and Buggles tearing at the throats of these two innocent-ish raiders. What do you do?
Buggles, stop! What are you doing?
I think Ramius hops up and in a panic, runs over and he's going to, I think gut reaction, he's going to heal one of the people. Now, I don't know if the ripping out of the throat caused death beyond, you're right, like permanent death kind of thing.
This is my, that's my intention was a coup de grace.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think he kills him.
Yeah.
Barnes will, on instinct, like vault over the tables and try to get over there and try to pull Buggles off.
Gick was standing close by when I moved her into the room, but in her eyes, she sees these flashes to instances with the Smiling Wolves, who she's been living with and traveling with, and they have been fighting these raiders. They are enemies, but she's not a Smiling Wolf. She doesn't really consider herself part of that group wholly. And she sees, you see these flashes of these different scenarios where these Smiling Wolves are just cutting down these raiders. And Gick is there and she's singing or she's playing her instrument. And you see her in these like different scenarios, holding her hand out, like crushing someone's, you know, neck and doing something else and like killing a raider, ripping an arm off. But then it zooms back to her and she steps away from this because she felt like we were not in danger anymore. And this kind of goes against her code of ethics, this coup de grace situation. And she steps back.
Well, it seems like she was kind of not completely on board with doing that, like with them anyway.
Yeah.
This is one of the reasons. It seems like that was why she was gravitating towards us instead.
Yeah. She didn't want to be a part of the Smiling Wolves kill spree. She's not into the treasure hunting. She doesn't agree with them. So yeah, she steps back though and kind of looks and she liked Buggles. They were goofing off when she first met him. So she doesn't recognize this at all. She's just like, what's going on? Why is he doing that? What is he, rabid?
When Barnes grabs you, who's driving the car and for how long?
When Barnes grabs the goblin, he...
Is the goblin with us?
Yeah.
Is he here right now?
Is he talking to us right now?
He doesn't resist. Like, he doesn't resist, like, you, Barnes, like, pulling him closer. And you see these like red glowing eyes, like looking you in the face. And for the first time, he speaks in common.
The Ku'ula Khan.
The Ku'ula Khan.
He stoops to speaking common.
He says, if
the vessel will not act. I will act.
And then he vanishes, and like, and you see Buggles, like his pupils, like come back. He's
like, I think I've got you in like a lock. Like I've got your arms, like I'm holding you, trying to hold you away.
And he's like smacking his lips, and he's like, "What happened? What happened?" And he's like looking around. He's like sees you, and he sees the bodies, and he's like, "Ah!" And the dog, like the slavering jaws with, you know, the blood like running down its jowls. And he just starts like, and he just starts like screaming and just like panicking.
Bonds, I'm sorry. Get him out of here. Bonds, take him out of the house.
I'll take you outside.
And Brother Amius runs up to the two people to like, you know, he'll cast a heal spell, see if it does anything.
You lay your hands maybe on them and you see their neck wound starting to close, but it like stops at a certain point. And while the blood isn't gushing, they're completely pale. You just know they're gone.
All right, so he tries in vain without casting spells. He tries in vain, you know, to just do like battle medicine kind of stuff, like more physical things, trying to hold pressure on the wound or whatever. And in short order, he'll see that they're dead and he's got blood all over his hands. He stands back up and he has all these flashes, these memories of all of his friends dying around him. And he feels very... Now, it's hard to explain in the moment, but it makes him feel like what happened to these people happened to him in an interesting way. But it's kind of hard to go into detail right away. The thought is so deep and complicated, but it comes in just an instant. Almost like...
The people that were just killed.
The people that were just killed remind him of his friends being killed. And it's because it was easier to just kill them than to deal with the situation. And that's sort of what happened to his friends, he believes. The theory he's always had. And so he just sort of like stumbles back, the blood all over his hands, and he knows that it wasn't Buggles. He knows that it was the Kaula Khan, something that he has supported, almost even fostered. He tries to keep a very open mind. He knows that this entity, whatever it is, this psychological break in you, is protecting Buggles, and Buggles feels comforted a lot of times by his presence. But this is might be a step too far.
It was brutal, yes, says Daniji. But Sakawachi must be protected at all costs. They were not to be trusted. I know this may seem extreme, but if we had brought this poison into your camp, there is no telling what they would have done. It could have been us or them. Do not begrudge this goblin's act.
It wasn't his act. It wasn't his choice. There are more complicated things going on here.
And Ramius goes outside.
And meanwhile, outside, I think Barnes is maybe trying... He's gotten Buggles into a place where he's not shaking, and he's kind of gently cleaning the blood off your mouth.
And he's just... Yeah, Buggles is just sort of like... Just whimpering, like being held like a child, like in your arms. And he's just like... So... drained and confused and stupefied, like technically like stupefied, like that sort of like effect, like his just the impact of him taking over his consciousness and then leaving is just like is sort of severe. And so he's just like, and then yeah, and he's just like sort of rocking like back and forth and unable in the moment to come to terms with what's happened. Now, I will say, like, I'll point out that the Kaula Khan, like, for all the, like, kind of nasty stuff that he's done, it's never been directed against anyone in our group. Like, it's been yet. Capricious and it's cruel, but, like, it's always been directed, like, at outsiders. It's never been directed at, like, anyone.
The physical violence has, but not the implied threats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He has had verbal threats against us, but I guess maybe not in common, so we don't really know.
Yeah.
But it sort of feels like he bares his fangs and yells something at you, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But never actually attacked any of us.
Yeah.
Do you think, would Barnes get the sense that Buggles is able to speak? Like, if I asked him a question, would he be able to respond?
Yeah, I mean, he's sort of out of it, but yeah.
So he's got you in his arms, he's just, like, cleaning the, like, the sinews and the blood and the viscera off your face. He's like,
Buggles, if you don't mind me asking...
When did you first become aware of the other presence in your head?
It started as a voice. Just a voice. When I'd be lying in bed, my pallet, at night, so afraid of what they would do to me, so afraid of what I would see they would do to my friends. I didn't know where it came from. It was very quiet, but it became louder and louder. And one night, I was so afraid, so angry. And it was as if a door opened in my mind. And I just stepped aside and let it do what it wanted to do.
How does it feel to be able to do that, to step aside?
Feels like being a spectator. There were once, where I am from, there are contests of warriors thrown together in the arena. I would watch them. They would make me, my mistress, she would make me watch, sit beside her and watch these men, elves, goblins fight, kill each other. If I turned away, she would hit me, scold me. She made me watch. It is like this. That is what it is like.
So you see everything?
I do. And it is clouded. When I come back, it is clouded. Sometimes I can't remember, but I feel that in the moment I see everything, it all is horrifyingly clear while it is happening.
Muggles. Oh, Brother Amius.
He's been listening to this whole thing, and he's going to just kind of kneel down next to you. And look you in the eye. This Kuula Khan, do you wish this being to stay within you? Do you like having it there?
Frightens me. Sometimes he frightens me very, very much. And yet, sometimes I am so afraid. And seeing harm done to my friends, to me, makes me so angry. And I know when this happens that he will hurt those who hurt my friends, who hurt me.
I think it's fair to say the Kuula Khan has saved all of our lives.
Yes.
Do you know why, Buckles? Do you know why he chose you? Or chooses to aid us?
The elder said, that I was Siak Ak, reborn. He said that I was chosen for a reason, to be the vessel for this force of fire that would come and liberate my people. Put me out into the world. Help me build power. Build my strength. Allies. Forces of magic. Martial forces. Bring them back to my home. And tear the heart from our oppressors. He said that I was chosen. There was prophecy. Prophecy that made it so. But I don't know if I ever... I never understood. I don't know if I believed him. But he was convinced. And it was through him that I found my way to you. I don't know.
Could I real quick roll an esoteric lore on the Kulukan? I think I've done this. Maybe yeah, I've done this before, but...
I've definitely done it before. Out of character, did you tell us your gate moment? What Buggles
said? Yeah, there was... So, to recap it, like, what happened was he was being beaten for some just...
Minor incident,
insubordination or something, or perceived insubordination by the lady of his house, like this villa in Arcadia, these like Chillaxian sort of colonizers, and is being beaten, and particularly badly. And in that moment, the Ku'ula Khan like made his first appearance, and he basically exploded the lady. Like,
oh, right, like I remember that.
She blew
I
up. Remember. And so this like elder goblin, like this sort of major domo, like for the house, like he came in and he saw the aftermath of this. And like he'd been talking and telling about like these stories of like the Kula Khan and Siaka Ak, which is this sort of the vessel for the, like this hero that is the embodiment and the vessel for the Kula Khan, who can like come, like leave, like be like a prodigal son to go out into the world, gather the strength to overcome oppressors. Like he was convinced that it was Buggles. And so he sort of gathered him up out of the house, like escaped, like as the dogs were chasing them, and went to this, like, you know, these ancient like circle of stones that they didn't understand, but like he was drawn to them. And it happened to be on that night that the gates sort of activated, and it was just like all like lined up with what he understood of this prophecy, and he sort of pushed him through the gate, and then whatever happened. But like that was the night.
Do we know what Buggle saw when he looked in the gate?
No,
the characters do not know.
No.
Right. So then after all this, Ramius is just going to say, Buggles, what did you see in the gate? Night that they opened. Do you recall? Were you in control, or was the Kula Khan in control?
It was me. He was only there for a fleeting second. And the lady was dead. And we came to the gate. We ran through the forest, through the jungle. The gate was all alight. I remember this light, like a rainbow, bathing my body. Something inside, but I can't remember. I can't. I don't.
But he did not force you to walk through.
He said that it was right. He said that the prophecy required it. And I had little choice. I would have been torn apart by the dogs had I not gone. Perhaps he was in my place. I don't know.
I rolled a 28 on esoteric lore. For the Kula Khan, is there anything I would know that maybe Buggles hasn't shared? Or
yeah, I think like, well, I don't know sort of what the general level of knowledge is on, this is a pretty far flung place. Like this is based the equivalent of the Americas in like the early colonial era.
Yeah.
So I don't know. This would be the equivalent of like knowing some sort of like Mayan or, you know, the Olmec kind of
prophecy,
like, yeah, myth. But if you did, like, yeah, you would know that this is this with some like deep lore, that this is something, this is a story that like may have made its way to these shores in some circles of this fire, the spirit of fire that would inhabit and control a mortal host towards some end of its own. And like there are differing accounts of like whether it is towards its own, like whether its aims are good or bad, but there are stories of like of these mortal hosts that can bend this force to their own will towards their own ends. And that's sort of the key, is like whether, you know, it's the beneficial or malevolent, is in a lot of these stories, is whether the will is there to be able to break this force to their own ends or not. But that's what you would have heard.
So Barnes will say, "Your book was, I don't know the full extent of the Kula Khan and this entire history, but one thing I do know is for you to be his vessel takes an enormous amount of strength and resolve. It may feel like the opposite sometimes, but it needs you more than you need it. I believe it is up to you to develop the tools to control him. Perhaps make him serve your own will. If you don't, it may consume you. And consume all of us too. Or possibly a great deal of the world."
I don't want him to hurt you. I don't want him to hurt you. I don't want him to hurt my friends.
We know that, Buggles, of course.
Of course.
I think Barnes is right, though. Don't underestimate the power you have over the Kula Khan.
We cannot control the Kula Khan.
He needs you as a vessel, just as you need him, and perhaps we all do, for protection. The relationship is symbiotic, and you must know your power in it. These men, these raiders that the Kula Khan has murdered, they are our enemies, there is no doubt of that. And Daniji seems to believe rather strongly that the Kula Khan did the right thing. That they would have turned on us should we have helped them. If we had given their weapons back to defend themselves, they would have set their weapons on us. So perhaps his instincts are more right than we know.
But he used me this way. I can taste their blood, Ravius.
I know, and that is why we will help you to control it. If you wish to control it, we will help you.
And cut to inside, where Gikmuk is, who let you guys go outside because this seemed like a personal thing. She doesn't know what the fuck is going on. Never saw that guy in my life. And
at one point I saw you as a player during Skid's intense story, drinking a michelada. And I pictured
Gikmuk.
I pictured Gikmuk just sitting in the doorway and being like, "This is a crazy story."
Just she like went to sip, and then she was like, eavesdropping at the door, just going, "What the hell?
Looking over,
going on out there?" But inside, I see on the map, Troy, and I don't know if this is the case, but this room almost looks like there's like fabric, like rolls of fabric or something on these tables, like these big bundles, these like big I don't know what you would call them. Big rolls of fabric or paper or something.
Bolts? Yeah, this was...
Bolts of fabric?
This was Celestia's place. That's what the sign says. There's all these... it was like a textile emporium. There's all these naked dress dummies.
Called it. So she is... you see her inside while this whole conversation is going on. If you cut back and forth, you come in through the window, see what she's doing. She is still looking at this mess. There's blood everywhere and, you know, these dead bodies. And she understands on an emotional level that something is going on with Buggles. And she knows occultism, like whether this is a demonic thing or whatever. She understands that Buggles is in a vulnerable place right now. She likes Buggles. So she has been pulling these bolts of fabric, and you see her reach under her shirt and pull out a necklace. And she pulls one of these like small little stones off her necklace, and it grows to a dagger in her hand. And then she cuts this bolt of fabric and places it over one of the bodies, pulls another one, slices it, places it over another body, and then uses some other fabric to kind of like push the blood on the hardwood floor kind of away to cover it up. So when Buggles comes back in, it's not so dramatic. And
Chami, like the dog, is still there. Just like,
yeah, she's also just watching Chami kind of moving. Like, I don't know this dog. She puts this here, seeing if that's cool.
Okay.
She like cuts another one, puts it here.
And maybe as you're doing that, Daniji like stoops down over the bodies and lifts up the fabric and just starts feeling around in the pockets of these people, feels around on the woman respectfully, and then goes over to the man and starts like looking at him. And she pulls a runestone that he had around his neck off.
What's that?
Says, I don't know. This might be of use. Seems like he didn't even know what it was.
Huh.
We honor the dead in my culture, but these people took everything they have. There is no honor in that.
Is this yours?
No. But perhaps it will be of help to you. And you hear, and Danigi like looks up and she says, the wolves, they smell the blood. We should either hole up in here or travel.
Actual wolves.
Yes.
All right, Aramius, you back?
I thought your friends
were... I told you the smiling wolves. I told you they were cannibals. I knew it.
They're not cannibals.
What?
They're wild animals.
It's okay. You have to lie to us.
Did you say they were cannibals?
Yes.
They're crazy, but they're not cannibals.
It's not the vibe I got.
Fun. I don't believe you.
Okay. Well,
is it lanolin?
I want to say lanolin.
Lanolin is a phenomenal bard name. I'm going
to lanolin
for future reference.
Lanolin, write it down. Daneji's right though. There are wolves, real wolves in the city. They're big. They'll fuck you right up. We should either close the door, seal it off.
Yes, let's wait until the sun rises. The wolves will disperse.
Perhaps we should...
Maybe make a fire in that fireplace. It's going to get real cold.
Perhaps we should remove the bodies from this building and put them in the house with the cabinet.
Oh,
our great enemy.
Our great...
No longer, we defeated
the
him.
The enemy, like with
glory.
A capital E.
It's the boss of this adventure.
Henceforth, all of us shall append the eponym Cabinet Killer to our names.
I don't know.
We can all agree that the cabinet was the source of the troubles here. Now, with it defeated... The city can go back to being a place of glory once again.
All of a sudden, the shimmering streets start to straighten.
Yes.
We did it. Daniji's got a point. Perhaps we should check these bodies real quick, and we could put them outside, honestly. We're not going to bury them proper. Ground's frozen solid.
You prefer the wolves to eat them?
I mean, wolves got to eat, too. It's the way the world works.
I know what you're thinking. I understand why you're called the Smiling Wolves.
Why are you tapping your head like that? What am I
thinking? I understand.
They're called the Smiling Wolves because they're crazy and they smile when they kill people.
Wink's as good as a nod to a blind man.
Don't know what you're saying. Also, I'm not really a smiling wolf. I'm trying to tell y'all.
The wolf is right.
The name's Gick Muck. And look what I found. Well, actually, Neji found it, but it's a necklace. I think it might be magical or something.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
What are you doing?
You detect magic coming off of this rune stone.
Seeing if it's emanating any magical energies, and it is indeed an aura.
Whoa.
I will...
I'm going to check it too.
...attempt to
Arcana?
Identify it. Yeah.
That's going to be...
pretty good.
23.
It is a plus one armor potency rune.
Oh!
Very cool.
Cool. Yes.
And Denichi was right. This guy didn't even know what it was.
Awesome.
This is pretty cool. He's wearing it around his neck like a freaking idiot. You're supposed to put this in your armor.
Infuse it into a set of armor.
Who wears armor?
I do. I do, but I've already got one.
He has...
I got chain mail.
Whatchamacallit's plus one breastplate.
Oh, yeah. Whatchamacallit? Astas.
Astas. You have... one.
What the...
I moved on.
You have a chain mail?
I have a chain shirt.
Chain shirt. Perfect.
Tucks it into her pocket. Mind if I hold on to this?
We'll speak to Zephyr after she's done cleaning herself.
I saw what happened. We should leave her alone.
She goes to stand up and slips in the shed and hits her head.
Oh, no.
I think she's out for the night.
Oh, no.
Boom.
Like Million Dollar Baby.
Oh. Except now she's... got
it would be as if Million Dollar Baby slipped on our own diarrhea, and that is how it all went down.
That's what I wanted to picture at home.
I gotta rewatch that movie and imagine that.
It's like Million Dollar Baby with more shit.
All right, so I'll tuck this in my pocket. I'll ask Zephyr when she wakes up.
We'll move the bodies into the cabinet house. And then we'll seal this place up and...
cut some more fabric for your filthy friend.
I cut fabric and make a big diaper.
Just lay it down. We lay the fabric on top of her.
Oh, that's horrible.
I'll roll it up. I'll roll it up. I
can't open a window. There's wolves.
She's eating.
She eats at this camp.
I'll roll an esoteric lore on the smell.
I can't believe the Smiling Wolves served cuttlefish last night.
You didn't eat any of the food the Smiling Wolves gave you, did y'all?
Not a bite. There was so much cheese. I think she overdid it on the cheese. It
wasn't cheese.
We're such children.
I know. We've been doing this for like 15 years.
We told her this would happen. We said as she was walking out the door, I was like, this is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, it's never not funny.
And I honestly thought we like wouldn't lean into it, but you'd feel when the moment's right, and then
the idea that
nail
she,
it.
Just the idea that she should have pants and fell, and then like 40 minutes later tried to get up and slipped the shoe. So humiliated.
I don't know how any of us could see her in the same lighting.
I certainly can't. The next time she misses a shot with her bow, I'm just going to be like, ooh.
Oh, well. Ooh. Well, sticky fingers.
Old shit fingers.
Old shit fingers up for her old church.
All right.
You say you could leave early, but there's a price to pay.
We'll drag the bodies quickly, Bonds.
There is no excuse for which there won't be a price to pay.
No.
I literally had COVID. Found out. Not only was I covered in shit, but that some creepy inn attendant had tried to get on me.
Yeah.
I forgot that happened.
Sydney missed an episode of Legacy of the Ancients, and her character ate manure and just kept eating it until my character cried and begged her to stop, and she kept eating manure.
That's good. Did it to me.
We all do it.
You all did it to me.
You're literally eating shit.
And Kate was there.
She was riding away, and she stopped because she saw something like awful.
And you know what? Kate was there, and she did nothing.
She didn't say anything. She did. Remember that. Nothing. Kate didn't say anything.
Laughed and laughed.
Kate, you thought it was
Kate
so
laughed harder
funny.
Than anyone. Harder than anyone.
Look at me now, Kate.
Oh, all right.
We move the bodies.
We'll drag the bodies to the alchemical shed, whatever it is, and the store. Throw them in there. Close the door. Hoping the wolves can't. Brother Ramius wants to hope the wolves can't get into the body.
Okay.
He would like to do some burial.
And I just want to say,
cremation rites.
We fully check the bodies for anything else. I know that Danuji gave me that one.
Yeah, and there were the other bodies as well. So I imagine you drag all of these corpses into that little side room.
And we check all of them. No.
Into
the cabinet house.
The cabinet house.
Oh, really drag them right across town. So leaving a trail of
across
blood.
Across town.
It's literally across the street. It's next door to the building we're in.
Like standing outside of a barber shop looking across the saloon.
And hit it.
Let me just put all the bodies in there.
Well, maybe that would it's not, in a survival situation, the worst thing. And maybe it would draw the attention of the wolves to these bodies instead of us.
Yeah.
And if there's any hope,
and we're gonna
wolves will defecate on the remnants of the cabinet. Our long vanquished foe.
There's some studded leather armor, a couple slings, a couple hatchets, a sap, a short sword, some thieves' tools.
Ooh, thieves' tools.
None of it's magical.
No.
Do I have thieves' tools?
A couple clubs that are just nothing special. More studded leather. But yeah, nothing of import. That
okay.
Plus one armor potency rune was clutch.
I'll take the thieves' tools.
Take the thieves' tools.
All right, so you drag all six bodies into the apothecary, and the rest of you hole up inside of this embroidery shop.
And I use some of the wood that's been broken from the fight to make a fire in this fireplace that's in the room. I know this where we're staying, it's cold. It gets very cold at night, even indoors. So Gick starts a fire.
We're in Brevoy.
I'm not remembering this correctly. I'm assuming Sydney's remembering this better than I am. What are we talking about with the actual temperatures here?
It's cold, but
it's
not
20s, teens.
It drops.
But it's not like below zero.
This is Brevoy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, ask Napoleon how cold Russia gets.
Is that what it is? So it's Russia?
It's Russia.
So it's cold as shit.
Yeah,
it's cold,
but you're indoors.
We're indoors. Yeah.
What season is it?
Always winter.
I think it is winter.
Yeah, I mean, Sydney's been saying it, so I think it's...
There's been snow on the ground and stuff.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
We're cold.
Why do you think the smiling wolves have been eating their own?
You're getting pretty close to the world, the land of perpetual snow. But, it's cold. Luckily, you're indoors.
Start a fire.
You start a fire in the fire. There's a fireplace here.
We bring the textiles, make, big sleeping pads for everybody.
Yeah.
And you take turns with the watch and go to sleep. And we'll be back right after this quick break. Dawn.
It's a beautiful name for a girl.
Dawn is a beautiful name for a girl.
I agree.
The rosy...
Good name for a guy, too.
Fingers of Dawn. Yeah, Dawn Draper. The rosy fingers of Dawn.
Rosy-fingered Dawn.
Rosy-fingered
Dawn.
That'd be a good...
Dawn
Mafia name. They call me Rosy-fingered Dawn.
Yeah.
It's a rosy fingered Dawn.
They call me the rosy fingered Dawn.
Hey, Dawn, why do they call you that?
You don't want to know.
My fingers are rosy with the blood of the other five families.
Oh, fuck.
Just like cold steel through my heart.
Being Italian?
Listening to that.
Yeah. It's 5 a.m.
Rosy fingered Dawn.
The sun's coming up over the horizon, but it's overcast. And you look out the window. Maybe during some of your watches, you saw some hulking shapes in the distance circling that cabin, but no one molests you.
But wait, I think it's the reverse. I think we're resting at sunup. This has been through the night.
Oh, we wanted to rest during the day.
Oh,
you wanted to rest.
Yeah, because we were navigating.
We didn't
set out until the evening.
Right.
So we're resting during the day.
Resting during the day until the next night.
So it's dusk.
Okay.
So
no rosy-fingered.
The rosy-fingered
dusk.
But
once the dawn.
Hey, you see my cousin?
I think we see dawn come up.
Rosy-fingered dusk. Hey.
Rosy-fingered dusk. My cousin.
I think that we see the sun come up before we rest.
Okay, yeah.
Kind of.
You see the sun come up, you're like, time to go to bed.
Right. Yeah. And we start to take watches and rests, and we don't, we might see some wolves padding around, but they don't attack.
Okay.
I'm asking. But yeah, it's nice that you had me just tell.
Yeah, I mean, if you're just hanging out there for the night, and
the
it
wolves
takes,
don't attack us. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it takes time.
Easy going, GM.
It takes time for you to drag all these corpses.
You have business cards that say that? Because you should. Crow Valley.
Easy going GM. Yeah, that's what they call me. That's what my wife says. You're so easy going.
Yeah, the most easy going guy.
And then
yeah.
you turn over the card and it says, in the bottom right corner of the card, it just says, the rosy fingered Dawn.
The rosy fingered Dawn. Tell him the rosy fingered Dawn said hello. You drag the corpses in the night. This takes the better part of the night. You come back and you start to hole up for the night. And maybe as you're doing it, there are times when you see shadows around there. You're cautious. You wait. And eventually sun rises, and that's when you start your sleep schedule. And then as darkness comes the next day, you decide it's time to
head out. Well, before we leave, I think that there, that Ramius does, you know, take an opportunity to talk a little bit more to a new companion. We're kind of holed up in this place for a while. Danique, yes.
Yeah. Danigi, who's the most important, as we said, very, we remembered her name. Yes. She's very important.
Yeah.
What do you want to know? I'm an open book.
This is the wall.
What do you want to know? I'm an open book.
Are you the rosy fingered Don?
No, that was my cousin.
We're going to need you to testify against the rosy fingered Don.
I think as we're waiting.
It was in the olive oil business.
Years ago.
With his father.
But that was a long time ago.
The waste disposal.
Best character in all three movies.
He wasn't even supposed to be there.
You ever read his play that he wrote? The actor.
Half Full of Rain.
Half Full of Rain.
No,
I did that play.
It's an early Ben Gazzara role.
Yeah,
it's one of the first like major depictions of like serious drug addiction on a mainstream stage.
Wow. Frank Gatzo. Michael B. Gatzo. Huh. Yeah, I did. That was one of I did a scene from that show in college, and it was
shit.
It's a great play. It's awesome.
God,
did you play the Ben Gazzara part?
Yeah.
The heroin addict?
Yeah, yeah. Yes. No. I played the father. I played the father, yeah.
All right, so you want to get to know Gik?
Yeah, he wants to know Gik a little bit more. And
well, I was going
to
say maybe.
How old were you when the first time you ate a human being?
When did you lose your virginity?
Just that.
Watch this. This is me taking the reins.
Is the pain you feel that you express in your songs?
Guiding the horse away.
Because of the human beings you've eaten.
Anyway, mayhaps Ramius, get out of here. Mayhaps Ramius, when you wake up, it's to cover my watch. But now, like, we're all kind of waking up. But you see Gik near Buggles, who's still asleep. And she's sitting kind of near Buggles. Maybe even her back is to him. But she has her lute. And she's playing very softly. She doesn't want to wake him. But she's just playing. And she's singing very quietly. To no one, but like kind of to Buggles. And yeah, that's, you just see, she's just like singing. Maybe you can't even hear her.
His eyes open and he hears.
I've got you. You're safe now from harm. No worries, I see you. No need for alarm. Don't worry, I've got you. You're safe now from harm.
There. And half in his sleep, like, Buggles is like, he's got his cloak wrapped around. He kind of like rolls over and like snuggles up close to your thigh. So it's like to your leg. He's just like cuddling up against you.
She like quietly like moves her lute, puts it down, and pulls some of the textiles that they've ripped up over Buggles. And then, like, inches a little further away. So doesn't want to bother him.
And Ramius slowly comes up behind you. Slowly comes up behind you.
Sorry, I heard you from miles away.
That was a very beautiful song.
Oh, you heard that?
Well, just the end part.
Huh?
Just the end.
Oh. Sorry,
I didn't. It is my watch.
Oh.
But it is a beautiful song.
Oh, thanks. I didn't mean to wake you. I was just...
What's it about?
And he kind of sits down next to you with, like, pained expression on his face. He moves his legs into a kind of sitting position.
I don't know. It's kind of a song that my mom used to sing. So I sing it sometimes to myself.
Was your mother a singer as well?
Oh, no. She had a horrible voice. But she liked singing. She sang a lot. She wasn't good, though.
Gik, I must confess.
What are you guys talking about? Danigi says. Can I sit here with you? Well, you talk.
You're awake.
Didn't know you were awake, too.
From there, I thought father was here.
Yeah,
I
know. Wow.
She's having trouble sleeping.
I followed the stars.
I found you.
I cleaned your friend.
I cleaned your friend. I cleaned your friend.
Oh my God.
Jesus Christ. Is that the next thing we have to tell Kate, that father cleaned her up? Just so you know.
Shut your pants and hit your head.
The good news is,
yada, 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 father cleaned you up.
You're all good.
That's the worst part of it all.
Danigi's like, oh, she can kind of get the hint that you guys are having a tete-a-tete. So I'll just go over here. She sits with her facing a wall about 6 inches away.
Danigi, please
join us.
No, it's fine.
You're so close to where we are. You can hear us anyway.
Some of us are trying to sleep.
Oh, God.
Sorry.
Didn't mean to wake you up.
I just, I wanted to apologize. I was concerned for you when we came out here, the dangers that we may face. Thought your singing was beautiful. Wow. But that you would be at unnecessary risk in such a dangerous place. But you clearly... Well, I see why smiling wolves took you in. And why they may be loath to let you go. You have some incredible power. How did you come to do that with your voice?
Singing?
You spoke, and while it sounded normal to me, the leader, Turner, he seemed hurt by the very sound of your words.
Oh, yeah.
I'm fascinated how this could happen.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it? I always thought I was missing something, like... I don't know. I wanted to be strong. Like my mom. But I wasn't. And I wanted to be smart like my dad. And I guess I'm smart, but not like him. And I thought maybe I was missing something. But then one day I figured out that people are really affected by what I say. Really affected. I thought maybe people just didn't like me or they liked me too much when I didn't want them to. But then I sort of found out through a lot of trial and error that it's actually me. I'm making it happen, you know? It's magic. It's
No one ever trained you to do this? You could speak that way and affect people as such and no one ever taught you how?
Nope. I didn't have enough money or nothing to go to school, so I kind of just hit the road, and that's when I became a musician. Well, first I was doing the miming thing, but I didn't really speak, so I didn't know I was so strong. But then I started playing, you know, just busking for money here and there and traveling around, hitching rides when I could, town to town. And that's when I've kind of figured it out. But it's been... weird. People aren't always so receptive, you know? Not everybody wants a bard around, and I get that. Like, gotta pay to play at a lot of places, and it's hard to find work. But I started traveling up north, and I ended up near Brevoy, and then Smiling Wolves kind of picked me up. I had nothing. No money, no prospects, and I showed them what I could do. They wanted me for the treasure hunt and stuff, and
of course they did. Of course they would.
Yeah. But, I mean, it when I say, like, I don't want to be with them. It's not what I want to be doing.
What do you want to be doing?
Oh, baby. Man, if I could really get out there, I'd love to play for so many people. I just want to be heard. I just want the world to know the name Gick Muck. Can't you see it?
You.
It catches, don't it? You're thinking about it. Like, yeah, that sounds pretty dang good. Rolls right off the tongue.
These are selfish goals.
Who's that?
It's Daniji.
Oh.
That's still facing the wall.
Shut up.
What's not?
Perhaps not.
That's not my only goal. I don't know you. I don't got to Sorry.
Like right nose to the wall.
I don't got
There's no honor in
you. I don't have to prove nothing to you. I don't even know you. I got other big goals. Like I want to have a family and stuff. Like I want to have friends.
Selfish.
That's not what I want you to have friends. Niji. Please.
One must aspire to loftier things.
Yes, and Niji, if we may for a moment discuss what it is that you are sacrificing yourself for. This quest, you continually say how important Sakuachi is to your people. He is chosen to lead you to some sort of salvation. He is the key to saving your people, right?
That is what we believe. It is my job to guard him with my life. And if need be, lay down my life for him.
That's pretty big goals.
It's very honorable, and I respect that.
I don't mean to make light of your aspirations. All of us want different things. My culture is very different.
No, that's okay. I mean, hey, I'm here now. People change. My road changes all the time. I take a new path, I end up somewhere new, and my thoughts change, and I don't know, maybe I'll change my big goals. Like, a few days ago, really wanted a fish. Got a fish. And then that ended. Now I want, like...
Barnes wakes up.
Sorry. Sorry. Sorry, that ended.
Where's your fish now?
You killed the fish?
I ate it. I wanted a fish to eat, and now I ate a fish, and now I feel like that's done.
I thought you wanted a pet or something.
So your goals are mainly your next meal.
Keep a fish as a pet?
People do it.
Really?
Yes.
That seems messed up.
Why?
Can't own the ocean.
Well,
it's hard logic to argue.
That sounds like a country western song if I ever heard one.
Can't own the ocean.
It is. That's one of my songs.
Can't own the ocean. Might as well eat a fish.
No matter how hard you try.
But you can wave goodbye.
Well, I'm very glad that you've decided to come with us. And Mats is okay with you leaving with us.
She looks at Barnes.
Why are you looking at me?
She looks at Ramius. She looks at Daniji. She looks at the Buggles body asleep.
Gick.
She looks at Zephyr's.
She looks at Zephyr covered in shit. She shakes her head.
Slow zoom on Zephyr's shit-covered form.
Unconscious shit-covered.
Crack in her forehead.
A tear rolls down Gick's face.
Gick, you.
That's your future.
You told Mats that you were coming with us, right?
Yeah.
And you told him that you were wanted to pursue this question that the Gatewalkers seek to answer, yes?
She's slowly nodding her head.
Gick.
What?
It seems like perhaps Mats does not want you to come with us.
She's slowly nodding her head.
We can't be on an enemy to Mats.
She's shaking her head now, slowly.
Definitely threaten our mission to have an entire band of treasure-raiding mercenary cannibals chasing us across the ends of the earth.
She's slowly shaking her head, yes.
And Sakuachi is with him right now.
She looks and shakes her head, yes, slowly.
We shouldn't tarry here.
You suddenly hear she casts musical accompaniment, and you just hear like very sad trombone sounds around her. Sadder. And she looks down.
Did you just accompany your facial gesture?
She shakes her head, yes. Listen.
It was like we're in a Charlie Brown movie.
More like Roger Rabbit, but that's not important. Now that we've spent some more time together, I feel like I should tell you. That's what you hear. She says, Mats is not somebody who can be argued with, let alone kind of reasoned with.
I got that vibe.
Yeah, you picked up what he was putting down.
Seems to have complete control over the smiling wolves with very little argument.
No, he keeps everybody on a pretty short chain, and he's big dog, if you're picking up what I'm putting down. So I told him I would come out with y'all to find Hisoi, who's one of his, and who left the city. So I'm not lying. I'm going to bring him back when I find him, which we will, because that's what we're doing. And then I want to get away with y'all. Because when I signed up to be in the Smiling Wolves, I didn't sign no contract. It's just an agreement. You just agree to it. And it ends when he says so. And he's never going to say so.
Wait, you signed something?
A contract and agreement are the same thing.
No, I didn't sign it. There's nothing tangible. I know about law.
Well, there's no law here.
Did you sign it in blood?
No. It's his law. That's the law. And it's what he says goes.
Yes, well, this, I'm afraid, is a common characteristic of leaders of mercenary companies, a totalitarian rule with no question to their judgment.
Well, I never joined a mercenary company before.
Right, and if you agree to serve under them, it's not so easily to break free.
That
but
sound like Mats right now. What?
Barnes, we can help.
You can?
We can.
We will try.
You will?
I did have an idea. It was a bit of a stretch, but I think maybe it could work.
Do you have legal training?
No. I thought we could just cut to the chase and fake her death and then leave and meet up with her in the city before we go on to our next step.
No, if deception is the best policy. But it sounds like we have time. It's not until after we find this. Who are you looking for?
Hisoi.
Hisoi. Not until after we find Hisoi do we need to worry about this.
Well, I mean, worst comes to worst. I also have this. And she has, like, this scarf on, and she puts her scarf around her face. And then suddenly, she just looks like Zephyr.
Covered 20. In shit and everything?
Yeah, it's a scarf that makes you look like you're covered in
shit. Completely covered in shit.
20th. She goes, it's a 20th level item.
It's a scarf that's covered in shit.
Wow. Oh, what a fine.
I'm sorry, are you suggesting that we murder Zephyr?
It casts a first rank illusory disguise spell. So then she wraps it. So she just kind of looks. It's a first rank. She kind of looks like Zephyr.
Zephyr pulls a knife out of her sheepskin. I understand. Goes starts walking towards.
No.
I will do whatever it takes for Sakawachi.
No, I'm not saying you don't kill nobody.
What?
We all studiously avoid trying to look over at the pools of dried blood in the corner from where they were.
Yeah. Miles is not the answer.
I'm just saying, I don't rely on nobody, and I work alone a lot of the time, so I'm not looking for an out through you. I don't want to put you in harm's way.
No, we enjoy faking deaths all the time.
Oh.
Bonds, it sounds like she has many options.
I'm just saying.
She's a gnome of many. Many talents.
Yes, well.
I think she'll be fine.
Thank you, sir.
If your spell doesn't work, I can skin your friend and you can wear her as a pelt.
I don't think
you
we
also
need...
are a person of many talents.
Yes, we do it back home.
I don't think
not
we need
people,
more...
with animals, but I'm sure it'll work the same way.
We don't need more death.
A lot less hair.
That's us. Are you rested enough?
Yeah, we
get on our way.
I've been waiting for you.
It's dark.
I already did my...
It's dark. We should pack up. I already did
oh
my
God! Thing. He looks over. Someone wake Zephyr up. She shit more while she was sleeping.
I put a big diaper on her.
Like it's horrible.
We just have to change it. I put a thing on
diaper.
Yeah, I made a big diaper.
Fashioned her. It depends.
Just a big piece of fabric with Sia's face on it. It's the only fabric they had left. Just make a big diaper for Zephyr.
Okay. Let's get on our way.
Please.
The stars are coming out.
And I gently wake Buggles up. Hey, big guy. We're ready.
Sort of wake services.
There you go.
I had the loveliest dream.
I'm glad. You feeling okay?
Mm-hmm.
You ready to go?
Yeah.
All right. You look good.
Thank you.
Don't forget your cloak.
Yes.
Puts it on.
It's cloak. Yeah, around. It's lunchbox.
Oh, my God.
And we'll set out to go back to the Smiling Wolves camp.
All right.
Actually, you know what? Right before we leave, I think Ramius is going to say, we have to burn the bodies.
Oh, the wolves will get to him. You don't have to worry about that.
Why would you say something like that about a zephyr?
Burn them.
Yeah. Wolves will never eat. Not this condition.
This losing spirits, control of one's
spirits must be granted.
You could also light fire to her and put it at someone's doorbell. Bring it and run away. See if this
Zephyr?
It could be hilarious.
This whole
could
woman?
Be very funny.
There's poop on the muck. On the muck.
There's poop on the muck.
Why?
That's a real inside joke.
Why would we do that?
I don't know. I thought we were just spitballing.
Ramius wants to burn the bodies and say a prayer for their souls to be granted forgiveness for their deeds and that they will be forgiven in the eyes of the keeper. And so I think he just wants to burn this building down.
Oh, wow.
With their bodies in it. It's kind of the easiest way to do it. And we don't know whether foul infestation created that cabinet, if it could come back in some other form. So he doesn't really have a problem burning it down.
Hmm. Yeah.
It's only fitting to burn down that building, regardless.
Hmm.
All right, yeah, so I think he feels weird about just leaving the corpses there.
Okay. All right, so everyone helps to pull all of the bodies out into the middle of the Mystic Market. And you say a little prayer over them and then just set fire to them like it would start a fire.
I mean, I was going to start it in the building that they're all currently.
Oh, you just want to light the building on fire.
Yeah.
Burn the building down.
All right.
Burn the cabinet building.
Burn the potion, the alchemy building.
Yeah, I would say once you start the fire, it doesn't take long before you hear like pops of explosions.
That's why he thinks there's already a lot of
red smoke pops up into the air, purple smoke, multicolored smoke.
But this pile of ash be a monument to our great and mighty foe.
The cabinet. End of adventure.
He prays for their forgiveness and then
let us move. This fire may attract unwanted attention.
And we'll start heading back toward the Smiling Wolf's camp.
Yeah.
Time for a survival check.
Oh, yeah.
Survival.
So wait a minute.
But we don't have to do it a lot. We don't have to just rely on Joe this time.
Yeah, Daniji's got it. So,
well, Daniji said she could help, but then as you started talking, she realized that she may have been out of her
depth.
Yeah.
So she's not going to
track or a hunter, aid. But like well, she doesn't have Sakawachi.
What's your plus?
My plus
to survival.
My plus to survival is 12.
Okay, so I can aid you if aid. You want. I have a plus 7.
Sure. Yeah, you can attempt.
Okay, attempt. Yeah, natural 19.
That's a critical.
That's a crit.
Plus 2 to
plus
you.
Two.
Plus two.
To you.
Yep. So yeah, I imagine the two of them talking as he's...
For fuck's sake.
I'm getting... Should I roll it?
It's too late.
I wish that was what had happened.
You want to use your bottle cap?
I'm going to spend a bottle.
What did you get?
So sad.
Did you get a natural one? Did you natural one all over your dice tray?
No. No, I'm going to get a natural one now.
No, Joe.
God damn it. Get in the dice tray. Natural 20.
Oh!
Boom!
Oh, turn it around!
Yeah.
Oh! Planet Die is back!
Good use of a cat.
Oh.
Good use of the cat. Oh,
natural 20 to get back. I did not want to get waylaid in one other random encounter.
You begin navigating Skywatch once again under the cover of night. Brother Ramius, Barnes, Gikmuk, Buggles, Daniji, and a very stinky Zephyr.
wearing a diaper made out of fabric would see his face on it.
So mortified, she can't even speak.
She's just kind of like out of it. She's like all messed up.
This is all from seeing Buggles eat that guy's throat.
She's all messed up.
Yeah.
Daniji's like leading her along, but stinks.
Everyone is Francis. Stifling laughter.
And you walk through these streets and it's like watching a film on repeat. Everything looks the same until suddenly in the distance it changes and you see the small campfires of the Smiling Wolves camp. We just go into the camp and we see Mats looking at you and then looking in the distance and seeing this pyre in the middle of the city. And then we come out from that pyre and we see another set of eyes on an oddly shaped head watching through the windows of a post at the fire as well. And we'll see you next week.
What the heck? What eyes? What do they look like?
Hobgoblin?
Hobgoblin eyes?
Oddly shaped head?
They have weird heads.
They have weird heads?
They have weird heads.
Oh, great.
We can all see the battleground.
Was a worthy furnishing.
It's time to make your membership official. Start your 30-day free trial today and become an official member of The Niche at jointhenaish.com with the promo code GCN30. That's jointhenaish.com and use code GCN30 to gain access to exclusive podcasts, ad-free episodes, and content you can't find anywhere else. Once again, it's jointhenaish.com and use code GCN30 at signup to get your first 30 days for free. Tell your friends, come join yourself, and see what everybody's talking about when you join The Niche today.